Well, we're starting a brand new series today called Joy to the World. I believe Jesus followers ought to be the happiest people on the planet Earth. Yeah, come on. And the happiest place on earth ought to be right here at church. Amen. Yeah, come on. I'd like for you to stand with me and turn with me to the book of Luke, if you would, as we stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning. Oh, the Word is good. Amen. I love this time of year, focusing on Jesus. Amen. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about that, and then it's going to culminate with our Joy to the World Christmas Eve presentation. Now remember, that Christmas Eve presentation will happen that evening, all right? So we have service that morning and then Christmas Eve, and this will be a great time for you to invite your friends, okay? Especially right now, amen? Especially right now. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says this: In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Look what he said to them in verse 10. The angel of the Lord said to them, now would you all repeat this out loud with me? Just read this out loud with me now. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Oh, come on, how many of you believe there's joy in the house because Jesus is in the house today? Amen. Hallelujah. High five your neighbor and say, Jesus will give you some joy. Come on, amen. Jesus will give you joy. You can be seated. You can be seated in the house of God. You know, I got to tell you, there are people searching for joy everywhere nowadays. You know, everybody's searching for joy. Everybody wants joy. How many know there's some things that can rob your joy real quick? Let me give you one. Facebook. Rob your joy. I start reading a couple people and I say, moving on. Media, boy, things can just suck the joy out of you. If our country and people in the world need joy, they need a real genuine joy, a true joy. They need it right now, you know. Just joy can get robbed real quick. You can be at the most joyful occasion and have your joy robbed. You know, it's kind of like the couple on their wedding. They had the baker design them a beautiful cake for their wedding reception, and when they arrived, what they wanted on their wedding cake was 1 John 4:18 is what they wanted. It says, "There is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear." They wanted it for their wedding. Well, the baker got it messed up, and instead of putting 1 John 4:18, he put John 4:18, and it's where Jesus is saying to the woman, he says, "For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you are with now is not your husband." How many know that'll rob your joy in your wedding day? Amen. Got to get you know, one little digit will mess everything up for you. Amen. But here's what we got having this country right now. Here's what we have even some Jesus followers, is that folks, we're trying to find joy, and people are the joy that we're experiencing so many times in our culture, and for even Christians, is that the joy gets very momentary. The joy is predicated on if my wife or my husband responds to me properly, or if you have a child that's, you know, acting like a brat in the house, and all of a sudden, because your teenager didn't respond to you right, it messes up your relationship with your spouse, it messes up everybody in the family, and so the joy is predicated and rises and falls on this one kid. Or you go to the job, you know, you got this one person, everybody else is great at that at that job, but you got this one person that ruins the whole job for you. You're allowing that one person to ruin you. You know, or you can come to a church. And all the great things, you had signs out there telling you welcome, you were greeted by the greeters with a smile. Our greeters are better than Walmart. They got nothing on us, man. You come in to hear the great music, and all of a sudden someone looks at you wrong, and you ruined your whole service over one person. One person. One person. So what's happening is joy becomes very momentary. You know, it's going to be just like Christmas. Your kid has begged and pleaded for this one video game. You give that kid that game, you know there's going to be a fight by the end of the day with their cousin over that crazy video game. 2 months later, that thing will be in the garage sale just like that. Y'all know that because it becomes so momentary. You know, it's like the only joy that some people get is they got to drink something or they got to take something before they can experience a joy. It's so momentary. It's so volatile. It's almost like a bubble on a lake. It just pops just a second. Doesn't take much to pop it, you know? Or it's a late night comedian and then they're back to their old self. But I'm telling you that the angels had it right. When that angel came down and declared from God, he says, I bring you good news of great joy. Not just joy. This is great joy. And it's not just for certain people. It's for every living human being that will accept that joy. And guess who that joy is? That joy is Jesus Christ, friends. It's Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the permanent joy. Are you hearing this? Jesus is a permanent joy. It's a joy that doesn't fluctuate with the Dow Jones. It's not a joy that fluctuates whether you get a pay raise or a bonus or you don't get a bonus. It doesn't fluctuate whether how your kids respond or how your spouse responds. That joy is in the depth of relationship that helps you sustain an inner peace and inner joy while everybody else is falling apart. You got to figure out who that joy is and who it's for. Amen? You know, come on, when Isaac Watts wrote that song, 1719, joy to the world. You remember, that's our whole theme, joy to the world. Come on, we ought to sing it. Come on, let's sing the first stanza. Y'all ready? Ready? Go. Okay, let's go. No. Y'all are off key. Come on, follow your pastor. Amen, you ready? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive its king. Let every heart prepare in room, and heaven and nature. Big ending, come on. And heaven and nature sing. Come on, everybody, give the Lord some joy in this house. Amen. So what you see, what happens is you'll walk in here and you may be a person in this room that's bound by some type of addiction or bound by a sin or something that's hanging you up. So you don't think that this joy of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness is for you. So you, if you don't believe the scripture, at least believe the song, it's joy to the world. Notice it didn't say it's joy to Americans. It didn't say joy to America because this is not a national joy. It doesn't say joy to Caucasians because this is not a racial joy. It doesn't say joy to the people of the West because this is not a cultural joy. This does not say joy to the educated because this is not a joy that comes from your intellect. This is not a joy to the healthy because this is not a joy that comes to people who are physically strong. This is not a joy to the happy. You know, we were in our devotions, our staff, we have devotions every week, and one of the teachers said, well, God wants me to be happy. He said, that's not true. You made that up. Because I'm gonna tell you, sometimes I'm not happy. But I'm telling you, because happiness is determined on if they happen to treat me right, if they happen to behave right, there has to be something that sustains you when everything around you is not happening correctly. And I'm going to tell you, this is not joy for the happy because it is not an emotional joy. This is a joy that only comes through the revelation of knowing that Jesus Christ is the only Prince of Peace over your life. He is the only deliverer that will set you free. And once you start discovering who he is, come on, it doesn't make any difference what's happening in the world. It doesn't mean that it's trivial and you don't care. It means that my joy is not predicated on how you treat me, how you reject me, or how you accept me. It is not predicated on my past. It is predicated on knowing that Jesus Christ now mangers inside of Sam Reifkogel's life. Come on, how many of you believe? It is the joy of Jesus that is the joy to the world. So here's what I want you to get. I want you to just get it this season. I want you to get it all the time. You need to have joy because he's arrived. It's the joy of his delivery. He has arrived. See, the problem is when he arrived, a lot of things happen to people. The reason they don't have joy is because people behave now the way they behave then. See, people aren't paying attention to births. Do you know there's a lot of babies born today? There were a lot of babies born today. Tomorrow will be a lot of babies. You know how many babies born in one day in planet Earth? 353,015 born every single day. 353,015 kids born every day. Babies born every day. Nobody's paying attention to the births. You know what they're paying attention to? They're paying attention to some guy over in North Korea. They're paying attention to their stock portfolio. They're praying this thing just keeps on going through to infinity and beyond on the stock exchange. They're paying more attention to their stock than they are to what's being born and birthed around them. Because nobody pays attention to things that are born around them. They're too busy being caught up with people that are all around them and all the problems. So they lose their joy. I mean, just think about 1809. In 1809, it seemed like terror was falling on all the people of the planet Earth because there was this guy by the name of Napoleon, who they believed was as great as Alexander the Great, and that they thought he was going to conquer the entire world, and everybody sat there biting their nails to the quick because look what's going. This one guy's taking over the world. So everybody was so busy paying attention to the problems that they weren't paying attention to what was being born, because nobody pays attention to a baby. But in 1809, while Napoleon was trying to take the world, guess who was being born? In 1809, William Gladstone at the same time was born, and he became destined to become one of the greatest prime ministers of England. And he was born during a time when people weren't paying attention to a baby. Guess who else was born? Alfred Lord Tennyson was born. This guy affected literary work around the world. While here's Napoleon over here doing his crazy thing, nobody's paying attention to Oliver Wendell Holmes. Nobody's paying attention to Edgar Allan Poe, the greatest novelist that probably ever walked the planet Earth. Nobody was paying attention to a log cabin in Hardin County, Kentucky in 1809 because there was a little boy that was born, a baby boy born, and his parents named him Abe, Abraham Lincoln. And the Lincoln family had no idea that Abraham Lincoln was going to be Abraham Lincoln, because nobody pays attention to a baby. They're too caught up with the problems that are happening around them. So can I tell you today, you may be in financial crisis. You may be going through chemotherapy or dialysis. You may have the divorce papers served to you this weekend. You might have addictions inside of you. You say, there's no way God will forgive me. There's no way I can recover. Can I tell you, would you take your eyes off the Dow Jones? Would you take your eyes off the political system that's going on? Would you take your eyes off your problem and get your eyes on a baby that came 2,000 years ago by the name of Jesus Christ, who's the Savior of the world? He's the one that's there that can change your life. Nobody pays attention to that kind of stuff. I mean, come on, think about him. He was Emmanuel. Nobody was paying attention because he was a baby. But he would bring joy through his delivery. Nobody paid attention. He was God Emmanuel. What does that mean, everybody? God among us. He's God with flesh. He was God putting on skin, coming as the Son of God, Jesus. Now think of that for a moment. Here is God putting on flesh, to go through everything you go through, to feel everything you feel, to experience all these things. So look at this for a moment. He's like every other baby. He's like every other baby. That means he didn't understand words when they were speaking into him. This means that God had to learn how to speak. The God who spoke light and put the world, the universe into order, had to learn how to say words to communicate with people. I mean, here he is. He had to be changed. He had to be burped. He had to be fed. He had to be bounced in the middle of the night to quiet down. Think about it just for a moment. Have you really thought, here is God with skin on. He had to learn how to talk, to walk, feed himself. He had to learn all that. And he did that so he could take on every challenge that humans would take on, but without any sin. Oh, come on, without any sin, everybody. Think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. An ordinary passersby, all they saw was just a baby because they're too busy caught up with what's going on. They just see a baby. They don't see a deliverer. They don't see a savior. They don't see salvation. They just see a baby. But when you decide, I'm going to get a hold of who he is, when you start holding him and start cradling him, when you start to allow him to be in your life, when Mary and Joseph held him, it was no ordinary baby to them. They knew they had the Son of God, God with skin on, held in their very hands. They knew he was the Son of God. when shepherds and wise men begin to bow before him and behold him, they didn't see an ordinary baby. They saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll get your eyes off of people who offended you, and you'll get your eyes off of the addictions, and you start getting your eyes on that one that came 2,000 years ago, can I tell you, you'll have a joy that you know there's a delivery and there's a salvation that's coming to me and my family. Come on, somebody ought to praise God for his arrival, his delivery to you. Oh, my goodness. So why did he, why would God come? Why would God come and put on skin to walk with us? There's a lot of great things out there. I mean, we can name things all over this place. But can I tell you, the reason why he came was he was driven by you. His incredible love for you. Here's what I want you to realize. Why did God put on flesh? Here's the reason. Here's what I want you to realize. Jesus came to feel and heal your pain. Now, I know it made a good political slogan for some people, I feel your pain. Well, that's sweet of you to feel my pain, but won't you get me out of my pain? I mean, it's one thing. I appreciate you consoling me, but can you lend a brother about $1,000? You know, buy me a meal. That's why you just don't want lip service. Jesus said, wait a minute. I am such the joy of your life that I truly feel and I'm touched with the feelings of your infirmity. And I'm the one that can get you out of this. I can heal you from your pain. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. He says, this high priest, this is talking of Jesus, those of you that aren't students of the word, says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God there. See, some of you are trying to see, the joy that comes is not the joy that comes from Joseph. The joy that you're looking for is not the joy that comes from the Mother Mary. The Mother Mary can't save you. The Mother Mary can't heal you. He did not say the joy comes from the shepherds. The joy doesn't come from the wise men. The joy doesn't come from the manger. It doesn't come from those people. The joy comes from Jesus, the center of your faith. And so you're trying to find your husband to find joy, the pay raise to give you joy, the career to give you joy. You're not going to find the joy. It's intermittent. It will be momentary. It's like a bubble on the water. It will pop. It will snap. Only Jesus is a sustainable, eternal, everlasting Prince of Peace and joy you're looking for. And he feels your pain. And he heals your pain. Let me tell you how he knows your pain. Some of you are in here and you feel like, you know, God, you're off God's radar. He doesn't know. He doesn't have a clue what I'm going through in my life. Yes, he does. There's something that happens with two pianos. If you put two pianos in this room and they're both tuned, they're both exact, they're in tune. If a person hits one note on the piano, there's something that happens that occurs. When you hit the note on one piano, the string on the other piano will begin to vibrate and respond to the note that is played on the other piano. It'll begin to vibrate and begin to, even though there's no one sitting at that piano. And what it's called in music, it's called sympathetic resonance. That what is being played and happening on this piano, because it's in tune with the other piano feels what the other piano is being played, even though there's no one there. It starts to vibrate and resonate. Can I tell you something for a moment where you feel like you're disconnected? I'm telling you, there's not one grief, there's not one pain, there's not one loss, there's not one hurt, there was not one sin in this room that where you feel disconnected from God, you feel like he doesn't care. I am telling you that when your heart chords are striking right now because of the loss of a spouse that has died, because you lost your job, because you feel like you failed in your walk with God and you feel like you broke God's heart, can I tell you the string that's resonating in your heart? Can I tell you it's connecting and is in tune with the Heavenly Father? He is touched by the feelings of your infirmity. And every time it hits you, it hits him. But he's the only one that feels it. How many thank God he came and he was sent so that he can heal that pain and set you free from the greatest pain of all. It's the pain of sin. It was the pain of eternal judgment. And how many thank Jesus? He set us free because he felt and he healed our pain. He knows it. That's why there's joy in his delivery, everybody. And if you'll press into him, if you'll get more in tune with him, I promise you, he is the one that can free you from the pain and heal you and sustain you in the pain. That's the joy of his delivery. Amen, everybody? So what does that mean for us? It means it's the joy of our deliverance. We get delivered out of this. So the angel said to them, are you ready for this? Luke 2:11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for who? For you. It didn't say for the Southern Baptists. It didn't say for the Presbyterians. He said it's for you. I don't care who you are in this room. He says this deliverance, this Savior was born for you. Put your name in there. For you, put your name in there. Who is Christ the Lord? How many thank God Christ is our Savior? Come on, he's our Savior. Now, in the Old Testament, when you see the word Savior, it describes a deliverer who sets his people free from captivity, sets them free from bondage of one's enemy. That's what it says. But in the Old Testament, the Messiah is never called Savior. The word Savior was only a title reserved for God himself. Look what Isaiah said. Look what he said. Isaiah 43:11. He says, I am the Lord. And there is no Savior besides me. Isaiah 49:26, look what the prophet Isaiah said. He says, and all flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer. In other words, I purchased you back. I paid the price for you to have eternal life. You can be no longer held captive by the enemy. The mighty one of Jacob. So here's the deal. You will never understand Christmas. You will never get a joy out of Christmas until you understand one thing, that Christmas is the coming of your Savior, your deliverer, the one who sustains you, the one who holds you. And that title was reserved for God himself. So when Jesus came, he is called Savior and Lord because he is God and there's nobody like him. There's nobody like him. So look, the title is Savior. Salvation is the noun. Watch it. The title Savior and the noun salvation and the verb save, you will find in every book of the New Testament. You'll find it there, every book. So that's why the angel, when he started this out in Matthew 1:21, he said, she will bear a son, and you shall call him, his name, what? Jesus. And he will do what? Save his people from what? Their sins. So the name Jesus, look at this. The name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. And the name Joshua meant Savior. So his name is called Savior, and that title is only reserved for God. And he is the only one that can set you free from the penalty, watch this, of your sin. And he can deliver you from the power of sin on your life. So if you're held by some addiction, you're held by something in your life, can I tell you, he didn't just forgive you. He has the power to set you free from that very thing that holds you captive. He is your Savior, deliverer. That's what he said about him. So that's what it means. He's the one that delivers you from the penalty and the power of sin. And he says he's here to save you. That word save there, by the way, is the Greek word sozo. And that word literally means to heal, to preserve, to save, to make whole, to be made whole, to be whole, and to make you whole. Come on, friends, how many of you know that when Jesus Christ came into your life, he's healing you, he's preserving you, he's saving you, he not only made you whole, but he's still making you whole, body, soul, mind, and spirit. How many of you thank God that's the joy of our deliverance, the title only held for one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. See, here's what he's trying to say. There's no other Savior. Nothing else. There's no other way that you can see God only through Jesus Christ, the Savior, God with skin on. He is the only thing that can free you. I appreciate all the classes, self-help classes you're taking. You should take those. I appreciate all the things you're trying to do to better yourself, and you're talking to yourself. You can make it, you can make it, you can make it. But I'm telling you something. The only one that can set you free and give you the power to be kept free is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only answer. You know, when I was preparing for this message, I came across a true story. And Anissa Ayala, when she turned 16, she was diagnosed with chronic myelogenous leukemia. And this little girl, the doctors just say, there's no way that she can be made well of this. The only hope we have is that she has a bone marrow transplant to heal Anissa Ayala. And so the parents start doing a nationwide search to find a perfect match so their daughter could live. She had a 5-year window to get this bone marrow transplant. And they could find no match. They said the best match is a sibling, and she had one brother. And this one brother, unfortunately, was not a match. And the parents were scouring, what do we do? Our daughter has 5 years. 5 years, or she will die from chronic myelogenous leukemia. And they didn't know what to do. They thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe there is a sibling that has not arrived that can heal our daughter. So Abe and Mary Ayala decided they were going to try to have another child. But this would be pretty risky. First of all, Abe had to have a surgically reversal of his vasectomy. And so that meant there was only a 40% chance of that even working. 40% chance. But he went through the procedure. Mary was now 43 years of age. And the doctors told her she only had a 10% chance of becoming pregnant. So you have those two factors. Then they were told, now if you do conceive and you do have a child, the odds of that child being a perfect match to your daughter to spare her life is 1 in 4 that she will be the right match. But Abe and Mary decided, we've got to do something. This cancer is eating up our daughter's body. She will die in 5 years. Sure enough, in April 1990, Mary gave birth to a beautiful baby girl, and they named her Marissa. Marissa had to get strong enough in order to do the bone marrow transplant, but when she hit 14 months old, she was old enough to start taking the bone marrow to do a transplant. 14-month baby, they stuck a 1-inch long needle inside of her hip and began to extract life-giving bone marrow that would bring life to his sister who would die. 3 years had already passed. They had 2 years remaining. The transplant was a success because one girl was born to bring another girl life. And today, Anissa and Marissa, you see their pictures, are going to enjoy another Christmas because of what that little baby brought to her sister. Amazing, isn't it? A couple of big differences here, though. Big differences here in this story than Jesus. The big difference was Marissa was brought into the world so she could live. But when Jesus Christ, when God put on skin and came, he did not come to live. He came to die. Marissa came to give life. She came to be like, to live. But when Jesus came, he intentionally was thinking about you, young man, sir. He was thinking, ma'am, he was thinking about your pain that you're holding on and not giving to him. He was thinking about you. He died for you because he was the only Savior, the only one that could set you free. And here's the second thing. Even when Abe and Mary went through this whole process, there was not a guarantee that this would heal their daughter. There's no guarantee. But when Jesus Christ came and he gave his life to be brutally beaten and crucified and hung on that cross, can I tell you what? It was a guarantee. It was a guarantee that every one of your sins and Pastor Sam's sins would be totally wiped out of the cancer of sin that was killing us and heading us toward an eternal judgment, friends. How many of you thank God when he died, it was the guarantee that he could free you and would free you from your addiction. He would heal you in the middle of all your pain and all your brokenness. It was a guarantee that he would be there for you. So right now, I don't know what you're going through, but everything else is not a guarantee. Everything you're depending on to bring you joy and happiness is not a guarantee. But there's one that came for you to be your savior from the penalty and the power of sin. And he says, even in your pain, my heart is in tune with yours. I came to heal your pain and to set you free from every bondage. How many thank God? That's the joy that comes to the world for every man, every woman in this place. Oh my goodness, he's good to us, everybody.